Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Tonight, how many have ever been messed with by the enemy? And by the way, it's not people. And it's not even you. There is a real legitimate enemy out there who's looking for a foothold into your life so that he can begin wreaking havoc in every area of your existence. Tonight is part one in a series that might get broken up along the way because Pastor B is going to be ministering in November. But we'll just kind of go through step by step. It's a teaching time tonight because I want to give instructions from God's Word on how to unveil the footholds that the enemy gets in our lives. Critically important that you know that there is an enemy and that you're not the enemy. And your family's not the enemy. And the body of Christ isn't the enemy. And the people you work with, they're not your enemy either. Nor are the computers your enemy. But there's a legitimate enemy who will do everything he can to destroy your life. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you tonight in Jesus' name that you're going to speak to us from the Word. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to make it very clear that you can bring victory to areas that have been under attack by the enemy. And I thank you that you're going to reveal that his strongholds and his footholds in our lives will be broken. In Jesus' name, God's people said. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, it says, "Do not give the devil a foothold," meaning don't give him a place in your life. It's critically important that we know that he's looking for an advantage where he can begin assaulting you as an individual, attacking, that's another word that you've got to look at. Not only will he assault you, but he's going to attack your family. He'll attack at work. Now, it may look like it's coming through people, but you've got to know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Several interesting quotes that I want to give to you this evening as we dive into the first foothold that he works on. One writer has said, "I'm in no mood to be deceived any longer by the crafty devil and false character whose greatest pleasure is to take advantage of everyone." That's the trick of the enemy, is to take advantage of your life. And what we do is we end up throwing things at other people, either verbally or literally. For example, domestic violence, where people actually get engaged with other people and they become attack mode in their thoughts and in their attitudes and in their actions. Another writer has said, "The reference to the devil is not a figure, but an obvious recognition of his personality and of the liability of all Christians to fall under his influence." I want you to know tonight that you are not under his influence and you don't have to live under his influence, and you've got to be aware of the influence that he tries to bring into your life. The last writer that I want to mention tonight said it this way: "We give place to the devil when the first motions of sin are not grievous to our souls, when we consent to them, and then we begin repeating that particular act or evil deed over and over." So he's looking for a crevice. He's looking for a crack. He's looking for a way in. So let me take your mind back to Genesis for a moment, all right? In the book of Genesis, you know the story so very well. We're in chapter 3 for just a moment. It won't be on the screen because the Lord downloaded some things this afternoon after school work. When he showed up in the garden, he started with a conversation. He's looking for the same thing tonight. He's inviting you into open conversation. He's inviting you into open dialogue. Example, I heard that you said that God is your provider. Has God really promised that he's going to provide? Have you looked at your budget lately? Have you looked at your bank statements lately? And now the conversation has begun. I'm amazed how many Christians and others who are not yet in the kingdom have conversation with the enemy more than they do with God their Father. The moment he was able to put a question mark in the mind of Eve, he had open access. He loves for you to get into dialogue with him about what God has promised you. Hold true to what God's given to you. Interesting. When you hold true to what God's given to you, you're not going to have that opportunity that he's looking for. He's looking for it. He's looking through the eye gate. He's looking, of course, through our speech. He's looking for access into our lives so that he can get a foothold. That's what he's looking for. As we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 tonight, because I want to focus in on just one so that you can really see that there's an enemy out there. And the enemy isn't in the Middle East. The enemy isn't in other religions. By the way, Christianity was never birthed to be a religion. I'm hoping in these moments together around God's Word that you will listen. Because if you will pay attention, you're going to hear a connection from last Sunday. Many of us who've been raised in church, we know the rules, we know the rituals, we know how important it is for us to do all of the religious stance, etc., etc. Jesus Christ is not about any of that. Sorry. He's about relationships. And the enemy wants to destroy relationships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices." If I was to take a poll tonight to see how many of you are aware of the devices that he uses against you, that he uses against us, that he uses against me, most of us couldn't begin to name the devices that he uses. But the Bible says we are not ignorant. So where do we start? We start by declaring what God's Word says. God's Word says, I'm not ignorant. Why do I keep walking around calling myself stupid? Man, I make such ridiculous, stupid. Have you ever said those kind of things? That's exactly what he's waiting on. He wants to hear what you are saying because he will work and he feeds off of that. Declare what God's Word declares. I'm not ignorant of his devices. That's a good place to try it. I'm not ignorant of his devices. It works. It works in marriage. It works in with children. It works in the home. It works in the workplace. If you will be willing to step up and say, man, I'm not ignorant about what's going on here. I know exactly what the enemy's trying to do. I can see what he's trying to do, and I'm going to shut down the portals that he's trying to open in my life. So let's talk about, and I've skipped a couple things because I want to get right to the meat, so that you can look around and go, oh my goodness, has he been playing on my front porch? Oh my goodness, he's been in our home. Oh my goodness, he's been at work. Oh no, I've even found that he's in the church. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. So let's take a look tonight. I'm going to share about five scriptures with you. Our theme, our thesis, our thrust comes out of Ephesians 4:27. The Bible says we are not to give him a place, a foothold. Don't open up an avenue. Don't give him permission. He can't move in the body of Christ without permission. He can't move. Example, tonight I'm walking across the back of the auditorium and I come across my brother and I go, man, what's going on? He said, my knee's really been acting up. and it's been swelling, and it's really kind of put me down for the last couple of days. Immediately, I heard the Holy Spirit say, pray for him. And immediately, there was another counter. How many know that he counters? And you get to choose which way you're going to go, with the voice of the Lord or the counter. Not going to be here that long, but you are responsible for what you're hearing tonight. You're responsible for what you're receiving tonight. So now I'm in the thrust of, what do I do? Do I move quickly to the front of the auditorium to get ready for service? Or do I take the time to pray? And then I heard this. You hear it too. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do that anymore. I'm talking about the enemy's voice saying he doesn't heal anymore. He doesn't restore anymore. And there are churches right here, not somewhere else, right here, that don't believe in divine healing. Wonder who's in the house. Wonder who's got a foothold. What? So I thought, you know, game on. So I just walked around and said, hey, can I pray for you? Laid hands on the knee and prayed and declared healing over that leg. Why? Because I'm not ignorant of the devices that the enemy throws. I'm just wondering, what do you do when he throws? Do you throw up or do you throw back? You've got to get into a mindset of throwing back to the enemy. It came from his camp. Give it back to him. That would be a real good place to praise the Lord somehow, some way. When he throws stuff my way, I throw it back. Return to sender. It won't fit. It doesn't work here. So I'm giving it back to the one who sent it. By the way, you are a liar and you're the father of lies. Now, where did that come from? Well, Jesus said it. If you ever read your Bible. I'm walking from my vehicle to the front door of our home this afternoon, late afternoon, and there were some things that were going on. By the way, it doesn't just happen. You don't just walk in and the Lord refreshes your mind and goes, these are the things that are going on. You need to speak to that. You got to walk in that. If you don't walk in it, you can't speak in it. Where are you right now? I'm giving no room to the footholds of the enemy. I'm not allowing any devices into my life. When he comes to sabotage, I allow him to know what he needs to know. And what is that? So I said, as I left the vehicle to the front door, I said, just a reminder, you're a liar and you're the father of lies and there's no truth in you. Shut up. I'm done. Unlocked the door and walked in. I'm just wondering, are there any Christians here tonight that understand spiritual warfare? Okay, I'm just checking on you. I'm just checking on you. I'm just checking. That was an outward assessment to see if you know how to engage and defeat the enemy. Because he's engaging you. And if you're not engaging and defeating him, I want to tell you what he's doing. He's engaging and defeating you. So, here we go. Are you ready? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, I took that was a yes. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. The first level of strongholds or a foothold that he wants in your life is division. He creates division. You've all heard the old statement. Divide and conquer. Get her thinking one way, get him thinking another way, and have the kids, who knows what the kids are doing. And now you know what's going on in the house. His first mode of operation is to divide and conquer. Would you give me permission to take you back to the garden for just a moment? He did not address them when they were together. He addressed them when they were separate. Listen, I don't know what you call your foundation, but don't walk around carrying it. Let me see you live it. You can carry this thing all day. That don't impress me. I don't care what you carry. You can carry it all day. You can carry whatever translation you want. I don't care about that either. I want to know how you are as a soldier on the battlefield. Because I have good news for you. He knows this better than you do. He was here before you got here. And I'm not talking about tonight. He attacked and addressed. Are you listening tonight? He attacked and addressed Jesus in the garden with the word. In the desert, he attacked and addressed Jesus with the word. He will do the same with you. And if you're religious, you're going to lose by halftime. I'm not even concerned what you're going to play in the fourth quarter. You're done at halftime. What are you doing? You flip so much. Man, there were times I would go back into the locker room at halftime and say, go finish this up. They're done. And they'd say, what are you talking about? I said, that team is done. Go roll them up. It's over. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to get an engagement with him over the word. He is petrified when the word begins to demonstrate in your life. He doesn't mind you talking the word back to him. He wants to know if you'll walk it out on him. See, no. I think some of you are just hoping, God, is it going to be later? Is it going to be early tonight? He doesn't mind you engaging, talking with him. He doesn't want you walking it back on him. You've got to walk it out. You've got to walk it out. And what does that mean? That means we got to do something when he starts coming and bringing division. And where does the division start? It starts, first of all, in our minds. Take your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Before we do that, I got to give you the background once again. In the book of Ephesians, it says, do not give place to the enemy. Don't give him a foothold. Don't open up the door. The weather report is saying that by the weekend, it's going to be a little chilly. Yes. Shut the air conditioners off, roll up the windows, and let the cool breeze in. Yes. It's going to be beautiful. But spiritually, when you have a report before it actually takes place, you need not be ignorant any longer. And if you don't want the windows down, don't put them up. However you need to do that. What I'm talking to you about right now is watch how he attacks in the mind. Like, watch this. How governed are you by the Holy Spirit that you're focused in for these moments around God's word? Or have you already left the building and you just wait for your body to catch up? No, seriously. People sitting in here and they've already left and they're just waiting for the amen so their body can catch up because their mind's already at Walmart or their mind is already on a TV show or your mind is already on, I forgot to get on Facebook. Man, he's already got you. Take off your religious stuff. Just because you can dribble the basketball, that doesn't mean you can play the game. Remember now, I coached. Just because you can hold the football, that doesn't mean you can score a touchdown. I want to know what happens when you get hit. I'm not talking about sports. I flipped that already. I want to know, I've been in this community a long time. I watch people when they get hit. And I go, well, another one just bit the dust. Let's pull up that old rock and roll song. Another one just bit the dust. They said they weren't ignorant, but they are certainly ignorant. And they're taking it out on their family, and they're taking it out on the church. And they're cussing out the pastor, never in his face. When he comes to bring division. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Divisions result from different mindsets. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. Well, I'm thinking about this. And Well, once we come to a complete conclusion and when a decision's been made, let's go forward. In our homes, in our walks, in our place of work, in the body of Christ. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but let me go ahead and just lay this out here. If I create division in here, and I go, you know what, maybe I can go pastor somewhere else. Guess what I'm going to do somewhere else? The same thing. You know why? Because it's in me. No, dude, it wasn't in me. It was in the house when I... No, it was in you. You brought it with you. Ooh, baby. Ooh, yeah. Reminds me of that incredible linebacker from Arizona State who left pro football and went after 9/11 and became a Navy SEAL, one of those type of individuals. And he ended up losing his life by fellow soldiers while he was screaming at them. They still shot and killed him. Called friendly fire. Oh, that's a good preaching tonight. We got that in our homes. We got that in the workplace. We got that in the body of Christ. And darn if we don't blame it on everybody else but where it should belong. And that's the enemy who has a foothold in our lives. Good preaching, Pastor. Keep it up. Good preaching, Pastor. When you have a different mindset than the Word of God, please don't be upset with Eve. You just took a good bite yourself. Out of the apple. I don't know if it was an apple. It doesn't really matter. What I'm saying to you tonight, the enemy has been attacking this region for many, many years. And I am amazed at how many people don't even know that his first approach is always to divide. Always to divide. Get husbands and wives not to agree. Let chaos reign in the home, and it will reign everywhere else. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause... Oh, my goodness. Ooh, Paul. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Let's go back over that. I love God's word, don't you? I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Just like the Spirit of the Lord was directing our young people tonight, know who your friends are, basically know who your friends are, and if they're inviting you into something that you have no business going into, mark them. And everybody says amen, because we like that one. But the same thing is true. If you are working and walking with people in or out of the kingdom who are always creating an offense and they're always offended by something, mark that person. Now hold on. How do you do that, Pastor? Thank you for asking. Never with a marker. Nor do I isolate them. I just govern my time with them. Amen. They'll catch on real quick. Real quiet in here. Somebody been sleeping with the enemy? Oh, I know I'll use terminology from the world system. I'm not talking about being in bed with somebody else. I'm wanting to know if you're in bed with him. Amen. Have you been sleeping with the enemy lately? And we've already described and defined who the enemy is. It's not flesh and blood, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers in wicked places. Have you been sleeping with the enemy? Are you easily offended? I'm not going to take any more of that. I'm going to quit my job. If my husband says one more thing, I'm walking. If I hear one more message where the pastor doesn't raise his Bible, I'm leaving. Well, why are you still here? Listen, I know that that angers the enemy. Because what's happening is we are uncovering and unmasking his number one rule, create division. When Frank and Sherry were here a couple weekends ago, they said what we had already heard up at Free Chapel. Marriage is hard work. So I don't want you to think, like, when I kind of fool around, mess around, and, you know, I have some fun with my wife in service, I don't want you to think everything is always peachy and cream for us. But let me tell you something that we check at the house every day. We check to make sure that there's no offense and that we don't create division. You know what division looks like in homes. Let's move on, please. Let's go to Jude chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. I have two other verses and then we'll be done. These are murmurers and complainers. Remember the video? Walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words. So people who murmur and people who complain are lustful. And that doesn't mean, I didn't say sexual. That's just a blinded concept in people's minds. When they hear the word lust, they think sexual. No. Let's go back to the scripture. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. A lustful person is a complainer. A person who is murmuring all the time, always has a hiccup, that's a person who lives by the lust of this world. Are you all here tonight? The enemy wants to keep you in the garden of evil and not get you moving in the direction of the promise. God wants you to move towards the promise. Wow, it's really quiet in here tonight. This is helping me. When I study, this has helped me so much as I think about school and parents and children and colleagues. When I hear murmuring and complaining as an administrator, I know that I'm dealing with a person who's driven by their lusts. And I'm not talking sexual. I'm talking of the flesh. I'm used to having my own way, and I will make you know that I have my way. Come on, church. And then we bring that into our homes, and we bring that into the body of Christ. And so what is the scripture in Jude chapter 1 and verse 16 through 19? We need to be very careful about murmuring and complaining because it opens up the door for division. So let's make a declaration tonight. We've got two scriptures to go, and we'll be done. Let's make a declaration tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you I have the mind of Christ. I am not easily offended. And I will not complain, nor will I murmur the rest of this week. I shut these doors in Jesus' name. Now, what we just did right there is we took the main points off of those scriptures and we've made a declaration. He's not getting a foothold in my life. I'm not going to wear a shock collar around my neck. I am not going to be on that type of guard. I have the Holy Spirit who's guarding me. He's helping me to know what to say, when to keep it quiet. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. I'm going to take it tonight that everybody's tired. And that the Holy Spirit is not speaking to us about any of this. He's been speaking to my heart. Don't create division. Be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Two verses to go. And you're thinking, man, I could have stayed home and felt a lot better. But how many of you want to continue to see the enemy take advantage of your life? That's what he wants. We are shutting doors tonight. Titus chapter 3, verse 9, 10, and 11. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a true word. As I look out over this Tri-County area, that's what most Christians do in the local church. Aren't you glad they presented this to us tonight before the message? Because it says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding, Jeremiah. So let's go back to that next to the last verse. Foolish questions. Keep them to yourself. Genealogies and contentions and questions about the law. That's all they did with Jesus when he was here. I want to encourage you, leave it alone and walk by faith and not by sight. Divisions are created by contentions, and now we move to the very last verse. Wow. So, Pastor, can you tell us tonight, how do you spot the enemy? Upset minds creates division. Lust. John wrote it this way, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh are not of God. How else do you spot the enemy at work? When Christians get together and all they want to do is just tear apart God's word and shove it down somebody's throat. Hi, devil, how are you today? Did you call me a devil? No, he's just using you right now. That's why it's very important for me as a Christian, as a servant of the Lord, as a pastor, not to carry this around because it scares people. Well, it doesn't mean I don't have a Bible. And it doesn't mean I don't have a Bible in my office at school. But what it does mean is this. If I don't live what I know, this is going to hurt you deeply. It becomes a sword. And you know where those swords go? The same place they went in Jesus. Almost finished. And that's not feeling too good. Like I need to stop. And this is what I've seen since 1988. Here, I saw it for a good 10 years in North Carolina in ministry. This is what I see Christians doing to each other all the time. And singing, oh, how I love Jesus, but I hate your guts every time I see you. But oh, how I love Jesus, because he first and only me. That's enough. There may be a bruise there. Last verse. Can I tell you tonight, this is what breaks God's heart. That we would allow divisions in our minds, divisions in our homes, divisions at work, divisions in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, verses 3 through 6. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what God's calling us to. To be peacemakers. To stay unified. To walk in agreement. To respect differences. But if it doesn't go our way, it's okay. Because he is sovereignly in charge. He is in control. Tonight, here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us to take and examine, because the title of the message was Unveiling Footholds. And we've seen the first one, Create Divisions. What do you think they meant by what they said? Who cares? Well, when I read between the lines, welcome to the garden. Well, the way that they were setting told me that they... Welcome to the garden. Want another bite? It won't take long till you realize you feel naked. And the Lord showed this to me, and with this, let's bring to a close. Yeah, it would be very vulnerable right now for us to actually be naked. But it's even more vulnerable for us to be spiritually naked because we're all divided. And God is inviting. Now, I'm not saying, and I want to clarify, because somebody's thinking right now, is he saying that the house is divided? No, I'm saying this is a prophetic message so that we can know before he arrives, oh, there he is again, you sorry sucker. Can I tell you in Jesus' name what you got to do? Get right back out of here. You don't belong here. We know what you're here to do. See ya. Bye-bye. This is a prophetic message tonight. This is a prophetic message tonight. This wasn't a slap on the hand or anything else. This is a prophetic message from the Lord tonight. Just like, thank you, Holy Spirit, just like the three illustrations that were given to the young people tonight, this is a prophetic word. So before he arrives in our mind, in our homes, at school, at work tomorrow, or in the body of Christ, we now recognize, oh, we know what you're doing. We know who you are. You're the great divider. No. You cannot have my mind. No, you can't bring any discord between my wife and I. No, you're not going to do that at the health department. No, you're not going to do that at the district. No, you're not going to do that in any of our schools. And no, you're not going to do it in any of the churches. Question. How many of you today, I know you're thinking of an altar call tonight. No, not tonight. I told you it was a teaching night. It was a prophetic word. This is a message before it happens. Before the attacks come, he's giving you information. How many of you sleep at home in the evenings with your windows open and your doors unlocked? You just let it all hang loose. Lord Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, you just blew my closing illustration. So much for that. Thanks, y'all. I really appreciate that tonight. You guys are right there with me. I love you. Okay, let me see if I can spin it one more time. Destroyed my illustration. Oh. If we caught wind that what was happening in Gainesville, i.e. early 90s, that we need to be concerned out in this rural area that it could be drifting this way, the University of Florida and all that took place there in the 90s, how many of you would make sure that your cars were locked and your homes were locked? If you knew, thank you. Much better, Pastor. There is one out there. There is one out there. No, I don't want you to go home and put your windows down and lock your doors. What I want you to do is to put the safety of the Holy Spirit over your life, over your mind, over your home. I'm asking you to be on guard over the next few days. Pastor, do you know something? Yes, I do. The enemy is going to try to attack and bring division in your mind about some visions, about some dreams, about some goals. And you're going to have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, he's going to try to counter some things and bring discord and division in your home. Get ready, shut it down before he even comes. Shut it down. Same thing at the workplace, same thing here in the body of Christ through the whole Tri-County area. Let us be where we're supposed to be, in the watchtower, declaring no foothold for the enemy. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.